And welcome to the Taylor Report. And we do appreciate the introduction. This is CIUT 89.5 FM, and with me is Phil Connon. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
We're going to talk to Justin Bahunga in London about the latest news from Rwanda. As listeners will know, we talk about the number of political prisoners there. More and more, this is the subject of journalism, is how many people are locked up around the world and why. Later in the show, Phil and I will be discussing some of the headlines of that we're all concerned about. And I don't believe we have Justin yet, or do we? No. Okay. We will have him shortly. To set the background for the story, Jeffrey York of the Globe and Mail did a short piece about a new development in Africa. The government of South Africa, the chief prosecutor, has opened an inquiry into the murder slash assassination of Colonel Karegeya, who had been one of Paul Kagame's closest lieutenants and was living in exile in South Africa. This, of course, when it happened on December 30th, 2013, it really didn't come as any surprise because there had been attempts on the life of a second individual, General Yamwasa, who had also been very big in the situation in the government of Rwanda under Paul Kagame. And what to underline there is that General Yamwasa was it wasn't one attempt, it was several attempts. And on this program, CIUT, the Taylor Report, we had interviewed Patrick Karegeya himself, the colonel, who was later murdered. At the time, we talked to him, the individual in danger, we presumed, rightly, because he'd just been shot, was General Yamwasa. We had wanted to talk to General Yamwasa, found ourselves speaking with Colonel Patrick Karegeya. Now, you know, Canadian listeners will say, is there any Canadian connection? Well, yes, there is. The Canadian government loves Paul Kagame, number one. But also, Canada had a candidate for president of the Francophonie, Michel Jean, and Canada abandoned her, did not support her, and instead allowed, without any kerfuffle, Louise Mushikiwabo, foreign minister of Rwanda. And listeners of Taylor Report will remember that we spoke to the daughter of Colonel Patrick Karegeya, who, after her father had been, let's remember, brutally murdered. He was in a hotel room, and a group of assassins had trapped him. He didn't know they were there. He'd been lured by a friend into the room, and then they throttled him, which is a technique they have used in other places. When we spoke to her, she had had an additional trauma because Louise Mushikiwabo had sent a Twitter comment to her. And the comment was, "What do you expect from me, pity?" Which I think, you know, she should have put that on her campaign posters. You won't get any pity from Louise. Vote Louise. the Mr. Kabaribi tweeted, "Well, you live like a dog, you die like a dog, you die like a dog, they carry away the trash." So that's why we're talking about this, because courts, as the Taylor Report often notices, seem to be rather political. I don't care whether you're talking about Toronto, New York City, but there's politics involved in courts, and so it's an important matter to pursue. And so to help us pursue it is Justin Bahunga. Are you there, Justin?
Yes, I am, Phil.
You are with the Freedom Democratic Forces of Rwanda,
Unified Democratic Forces, yes, FDU in Kenya.
FDU-Rwanda.com.
Yes, correct, yes.
Well, we're really glad to talk to you. I was just speaking of the background to the case of Colonel Karegeya, who was murdered in 2013. It was actually New Year's Eve.
Correct.
And it was a horrible case. I had just mentioned, I wonder if you can confirm for me, this technique of, I hate to put it this way, but throttling people, that's not the first time that had happened since Kagame took power and there were exiles who were critical of him, right?
Correct, yes.
Wasn't the former president of the Bank of Rwanda choked to death in Cameroon or somewhere in
Mozambique.
West Africa?
In Mozambique, yes, in Mozambique, yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us some more about that. I mean, I saw today, and I'm glad to be invoking her name, both the name of Victoire Ingabire, but also Diane Wigara. Diane Wigara, on her Twitter account, said, you know, we have, they talk about Mr. Khashoggi. Rwanda has many, many Khashoggis. And she gave the example of someone from her own party who had been her campaign manager. And this has been true. I think his name was Tadio Muyenzi.
Yes.
And your organization, the UDF, have also had people who either died or they just disappear. And we had spoken to you about one of them. He was in a prison in Rwanda, and this was only a month ago, but he's disappeared. Yes. Who is he and what happened?
Now, this person is the first vice president of UDF Inkingi, FDU Inkingi, and his name was Boniface Twagirimana. He was arrested with the 9 other colleagues from the FDU party in September 2017. And on the 3rd of October, was transferred to Inyanza prison, maximum security prison. And 5 days later, and the official version was that he evaded the prison, but we know that, one, that is a maximum security prison. It's difficult to do
a
that.
Maximum security.
Security prison.
And he walked away.
And it's very funny. He jumped over the wall. But what is interesting, not interesting, and for you guys interesting, is that he was taken to a semi-detached maisonette inside the compound, the prison, where they normally put political prisoners, and normally at night, the keys are kept by the night security officer. So he is the one who opened the morning, and we were told that when they came to open the house, they found he had disappeared. And it's like when you remember those who know the Bible, Jesus could enter the houses without knocking the door or having to have opened it for him.
Yeah.
So he disappeared. There was no.
So he's a, God. It's a miracle, and he's probably a saint.
I hope. I thought I would be
That's
happy
all.
If she was. I don't know. It's actually what saying is absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no fighting almost all along the way going out of the building. And as you know, as you can understand, it is not a way that after 5 days, someone would have made plans to leave that compound. And secondly, is that he was not allowed to leave his room until 2 days later, the 5th of August, of October, then his family came to see him. And when he talked to the wife, she said herself that she never see anything that would indicate that the husband was so desperate to leave, to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And then, other than that, he had hopes because he's the president of the party, that Singabile had been released, and she had vowed to do everything possible to make sure that they are out. So it's not the person who could have been so desperate to want to escape.
Yes.
So now it was 8th of October, now we are in November. For the last 3 weeks, we haven't had any news from him about him.
People need to remember his name. He was the first vice president,
Bonifaz, the first vice president of FDU in Hingi.
Yeah. And of course, and as this other point is that while Victoire was there, party members and leaders actually were killed while she was incarcerated, right? You had people who were found dead. They weren't missing. They were found dead.
Correct, yes. Well, thank you for that. There was, in May last year, 2017, we had one gentleman called Jean Damascene Habarugira. He was called by the intelligence officer in the military barracks of Ngoma. That was a Friday. And the relatives went to ask where he was. They said they didn't know where he was. But on Monday, that's 3 days later, the family was called by the police that he was in a mortuary in Nyamata, about a few kilometers away. And it was found that his eyes had been gouged out, and his throat was almost completely severed. And also we have another case of a lady called Irumine Nigena. She was kidnapped on her way to work in March 2016, and with the information we have, that was tortured to death. And so it is 1 year later. We don't know where she was. We are told, and the family was told that she was dead under interrogation. And the family has been forced to run away from Rwanda. Mm-hmm. And also, so we had Habarugira, we had Lumine, and now we have this person. But also, something that you might also be able to remember is that there is an official report of June 2014 that 32,000 former detainees who are doing community work disappeared without any trace. 32,000. In this official figures given by the correctional services, all the prison services,
they've disappeared.
And of course, you know the case of the 45 bodies which were found floating in Ngweru Lake on the border between Rwanda and Burundi.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Justin Bahunga, from FDU-Rwanda.com, United Democratic Forces of Rwanda. This is the party of Victoire Ingabire. Of course, we referred earlier to Diane Shima Wigara of the People's Salvation Movement, who made this very good analogy that there are many Khashoggis in Rwanda, but the relations are rather warm between London and Kigali and Washington and Kigali, and of course now Paris and Kigali. On the matter of South Africa, tell me, I guess, your reaction. It must be a hopeful sign that after so long of being kind of quiet, South Africa seems to be interested again in somebody being murdered in one of their fine hotels. What do you
think? No, thank you so much, Phil, again. This is a very good development, because I would have thought that the South African government should have taken up this case earlier, but it doesn't matter. It is late, but at least it's done, because we want it to be established that it couldn't have been just an accident. And as you know, in any case, you ask what an interest in trying to kill a fugitive former chief spy of President Kagame in South Africa, someone who's going to be very critical of the government, and whom definitely the president knows very well as being very effective during his time when they're fighting for power and having them run away. Mm-hmm. So it's a very positive development. And of course, it is one of the many that has happened. Yes. And if you remember, there was the Human Rights Watch. I mean, we had a report which they called a repression across borders. How actually for Rwandan security services, there is no border. Anyone who runs away from Rwanda is still at risk. And of course, again, remember on the 14th of January 2014, our 2 weeks after the death, the president himself, at a prayer breakfast,
during a prayer meeting. Yes, go ahead.
And believe me that actually he said that those who betray the country have to accept the consequences. And what is shocking is that bishops and people were there, they just clapped. You can imagine how far the country has gone for the society, where even bishops, pastors, and who was supposed to be the men of God, kind of clap when someone says that actually the people the killing is not an issue. Which, as I know, I'm a Christian also, when one of the Ten Commandments is don't kill. So you can see how far society has gone down in the drain.
Yes. Yes, and it underlines also he has a kind of confidence, which the Globe and Mail talked about. And this is something we should all notice. The explanation that the Globe provided, Jeffrey York, was that for why this has taken a long time is that Kagame is a very powerful man in Africa, but yet we're talking about South Africa, which is really the most powerful country in Africa in terms of its population. It's the capital and in terms of its development, and yet they were worried. And isn't it true, really, that Kagame is not powerful in Africa? He's powerful in Washington.
True indeed, because again, if looked at the United States Human Rights Report 2017, it points out about extrajudicial killings, arbitrary arrests and detentions, the putting in jail of us, and even saying that the Rwandan population have no ability to change their government through free and fair elections. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, and unfortunately, with all that, still, the Rwandan government has no problem of having aid from the United States. The UK, again, which is another big funder, we have cases in 2011 where they made the police inform the two people that they were at risk of their safety from the Rwandan government. Yes. In March 2017, last year, another person was told by the police that they went to see him and he has got a letter saying that he is at risk of death by any means from the Rwandan government, but still, the aid still flows to this country. At the same time, the Russian person who was imprisoned, it caused a lot of disarray and diplomatic row because of that. And these guys are the British citizens of Rwandan origin.
Yes. Now, that's... tells us why this event, and now they were going to do it in November. Now I notice they postponed it to January, but they're going to call 50 witnesses. But I think the prosecutor has said most of those witnesses are in Rwanda. They know their names, and they're asking Rwanda to please provide those witnesses.
yes.
I wouldn't be optimistic. Are you optimistic that Rwanda will cooperate?
And I don't think so. But actually, for us as far as we're concerned, is at least that the South African government has taken that step. Because there's another case before that where people were arrested in South Africa, and the court of South Africa came to say that the only people wanted to kill, assassinate General Nyamwasa, and it was clearly shown that some of the people were coming from Rwanda. So whatever the outcome, at least they will establish that the people who are behind this strangling or this killing came from Rwanda. They were saying, I don't have any illusions that the Rwanda government will do help, but it will be on record because governments come and go. So it's been on record that they have refused to cooperate, and again, emphasizing the fact that because there's something they have to hide.
Yes. Yes. Well, it is a little ray of hope again, just as your leader, Victoria Ingabire, constitutes a glimmer of hope, as does Diane Shima Wegara. Again, this has been Justin Bahunga. He is from the Freedom Democratic Forces of Rwanda, FDU-Rwanda.com. Justin, thank you very, very much for talking to us. And we're going to follow this South African story very closely.
Thank you so much, Phil. It is always a great pleasure to talk to you.
Good. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. This is Taylor Report, CIUT.